That last song said it all, didn't it? He is enough. For everything in our lives, Jesus is enough. Don't ever forget that. As we're in this series on enough, I'm not, but he is. And there are these I am statements that the Apostle John wrote in the Gospel of John that we're looking at. There's seven of those I am statements that shout out to us that Jesus Christ is enough. And my question to you this morning is, have you found him to truly be enough in your lives? Have you found him to be sufficient? Has he met you in the dark places? Has he met you in the high places? Has he met you in the storms? Has he met you in your greatest need? Has he met you in the depths of the darkness of your heart so that you can call him your Savior? And are you following him in your life as the one who is to guide us, the good shepherd, that we know his name and we hear his voice and we follow after him? That's the Jesus we want to talk about this morning. That's the Jesus that we get the privilege of gathering like this as a body of believers and worshiping. And it's all about Jesus and how much you know him, and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and you walk with Jesus each and every day. He wants to walk with you always. Are you allowing him to walk with you today? Let's ask him to teach us this morning from his word as we look into God's word in the book of John. And let's ask him to speak to our hearts so that we can get to know Jesus a little bit better this morning as he speaks to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are in our midst, that you are the God who is always present, that you are the God who never leaves us, never forsakes us, that you are the God who is never surprised by the circumstances and situations of life in which we find ourselves in. The darkness doesn't scare you because you dispel the darkness, because you are light, as we're going to see this morning. So, Father, as you speak to our hearts this morning from your word, I thank you for the Bible, your word that you've written down so that we have it, so that we can know your heart, and so that you can teach us what we need to know and how much we need to just understand about you and how much you love us and how we are to love you back and how we are to love others. Father, we just thank you and praise you that you are at work. So, Father, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you that you are working in and through our lives by your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died and rose again, so that we can have life and have life eternal. Father, speak and touch our hearts this morning and help us to listen well to you as we share your word. And it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. My name is Scott Jackson. If you're not familiar with me, I'm part of the preaching team here at East Swamp, and it's a privilege to be here on a number of Sundays throughout the year and to be able to share and challenge this church body. We serve with an organization called Thrive Leadership Foundation. If you want to find out a little bit more about it, it's new for us. We've just started it this January, and we stepped away from missions with churches and missions, and we have joined Thrive Leadership Foundation, where we come alongside of ministry leaders and encourage ministry leaders to continue to keep focused on Jesus in their lives. Yes, ministry leaders get unfocused off of Jesus in their lives, just like you do. And the question is, who shepherds and pastors the pastors? Who comes alongside of them and encourages them? And God has put it on our hearts to do this, and we have the privilege of doing that. If you want to find out more about our ministry and what we're all about, it's out on one of the tables in the foyer. You can pick up one of our brochures. You can pick up our latest newsletter that's there. You can sign up to hear more and be a part of our ministry in any way that God would lead you. But the desire is for us in our ministry, the same desire I have for each and every one of us this morning, is that we pursue Jesus on a daily basis. so that he is alive and well and working in and through our lives. So that we can truly, as we say here at East Swamp, love God and love others. That's our theme. That's what everything is surrounded by. Those children on the screen, did they grab your heart or what this morning? You know, how many of you are going to sign up to work with those kids? Because you know what? They need to know Jesus now. So that as they go into this world in which God has placed us, they are his light in the world around us because you've invested in their lives. That's what God wants to do in and through us each and every day. We looked last week at Jesus being the bread of life. I'm the bread of life, and how Jesus is sufficient to feed us and to nourish us and to give us everything that we need to sustain life. He is our daily bread. He is what we need to sustain not just our physical life, but he is there to sustain our spiritual life. That's the focus of what we talked about. The week before, we talked about him being the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, and that he gives himself freely for us so that we can have this restored relationship with our Heavenly Father and so that we can walk in the light that he has given to us. Today, we're going to look at Jesus being the light of the world. And in John chapter 8, we find this where Jesus is talking, and it says here that Jesus is the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, and I'm going to stop right there for a moment. What we miss sometimes is we always say we want to keep Scripture in its context. Keep Scripture in its context. Don't take the Scripture out of its context. And often that means the context of the words in which are written there in a page. But there's a broader context there that often is missing. And one of the things is this is during the Feast of Tabernacles when Jesus is speaking. The Feast of Tabernacles was it's like a week-long Woodstock, all right? And it's like going out to Creation Festival where they have Christian music and everything going on, speakers all week long. Well, they would all go down to Jerusalem. There's three celebrations like this a year. They'd get down for a week down to Jerusalem, and they would celebrate what God had done, and they would live in tents. You know, some of you like to camp. Anybody here like to camp in tents? All right, raise your hand. Good. It's great. I love to camp, right? I don't feel as good when I get up in the morning laying on that ground all night, but you know what? I love to camp. But they went out camping once a year. They'd go camping once a year as a nation. And they would remember when they were wandering in the wilderness. Now, I've been in some pretty dark places in this world, where there is literally no light and no ambient light. There's no light at all. It's amazing how bright the stars are in places like that, isn't it? You look up and you see all these stars just piercing out when there is no other visible light around. But when it's dark, folks, right? You've been in a dark place where you can't see the hand in front of your face. You feel like you can cut the darkness. It's so thick. That's how they were in the desert, except for the pillar of fire by night that was there all the time. You see, God brought light into the darkness, and the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day, protecting them from the rays of the sun. The desert's hot. So he gives the cloud by day to protect them and to lead them forward. He gives the pillar of fire at night, the light, to light their way and to protect them from being attacked during the night, because you could be attacked by any number of things in a desert. But he gives them protection in two different ways. But it's this light at night. It's this glory of God that went before them. It's the glory of God that Scripture talks about filling the temple and the light that shone out of the temple. And so when Jesus is there and they're celebrating the Feast of Weeks and they're remembering back the Feast of Tabernacles, they're remembering back to this time when they lived in tents in the wilderness, you know what they did? They took this one outer court, the court of the women, and they lit it all up with candles. And this light from the court coming out of the temple in first century when Jesus was alive, this light would come out and it would be shining all over the area and shining all over the little crevices of Jerusalem that were right in tight against the temple. And it lit up everything around there. And in the midst of that, Jesus makes this grand proclamation and this statement. He says, I am the light of the world. The reason he lit that up like that in Jerusalem, the temple area, is because they were trying to mimic The glory of God that used to fill the temple but was no longer there. You see, the temple had come into darkness. Because temple worship had gone by the wayside for the most part. The glory of the Lord had departed. And here we have Jesus coming now. He's to reveal the Father to us. He's to reveal the glory of God. And he's standing there in the temple area, in and around the temple, when he begins to speak here. And he says, I am the light of the world. Now that's a bold proclamation by someone that later on in this passage, they just looked and said, well, who are you? You're just a man of illegitimate birth. That's what they said about Jesus. They said, we know who your mom and dad are. In fact, you got a couple dads, they said. And they really were ridiculing Jesus. But he says, I am the light of the world. Notice what else he says. Whoever, I love that about Jesus. Jesus never excludes anybody. People want to say, oh, you know, you're so exclusive in Christianity. And you exclude all these. No, we don't. Because the whoever is always whoever. And what it means in the language of the day is whoever, all right? It is everybody is welcome to come to Jesus. Oh, he is the only light. Yeah, he is exclusive and he's the only way. He's the only truth. As we look at these I am statements, he is the bread of life. They all have a thee before them because he is the only one. He is God in flesh that has come to us. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Think about that, folks. You and I do not have to live in darkness anymore in our lives. And he's talking not physically, he's talking spiritually. We don't have to walk in darkness because he concludes and says, but we'll have the light of life. This is this light that is lighting up your life. As John 10:10 says, this is life to the fullest. This is life the way God intended it to be lived apart from sin. And God says, I want to give you this new life. I want you to understand a different way to live. You don't have to live in this darkness anymore. You don't have to live in the discouragement that's around you. You don't have to live in the darkness, but you can now live in the light in the midst of darkness because there's still darkness all around us. In fact, in reality, you know, and I know there's darkness in each one of our lives still. Because we allow dark things to creep back into us. And Jesus needs to bring his light to those things so that they can be dispelled in our lives. So that they can be gotten rid of in our lives. You see, Jesus has come as the light in the world. The light to the darkness. He meets us in the middle of the darkest places of life. Where are some dark places in life for you? No, I'm sure none of you here ever get discouraged. None of you here ever want to just give up. None of you here ever want to bail out. None of you here have any financial problems. None of you here have any struggles in your home with relationships or at your workplace. Everything is just peachy keen in all those areas, right? You know? No, they're all dark places in our lives. In fact, very prominent to us in the early service was health issues. As we had the lady who passed out, right, as I began my sermon in the middle of that first service. And God rearranged that whole service to go in a whole different direction this morning, you know. And he's in charge. He can do those kind of things. He's allowed. And he brings light into the midst of the darkness. You know what? I want you to be praying for some folks this morning. We had some ENT techs go to church today. They didn't expect to. And I know God well enough that I know he knows what he's doing in their lives. And there's no coincidence going on here. I know when we talk here at East Swamp about loving God and loving others, that when those techs walk through the door this morning, because I can tell you this morning, and I will talk about the people in the first service right now. The people in the first service, when this all took place, man, that the lady had so many caring people around her, nurses and others that were right there on the spot taking care of her immediately, that when those techs walked through the door, I hope all they saw was people loving her because of the love of Jesus that was in her lives. Those techs on that ambulance this morning, I guarantee you it wasn't on their agenda to go to church today. Don't you love what God does? Don't you love how he says, they need to know that there's hope in this world. they need to know that there are real people who really care in churches. Because maybe some of them think church is just something you go in and you go out of and you don't talk to anybody and you don't get to know those people around you and you don't really care about the people next to you and when you gather like that. And maybe that's been their experience in the past and they walked into East Swamp here this morning not planning to go to church and all of a sudden they see this lady who is struggling health-wise surrounded by loving, caring people who are pouring into her life to get her back and going. Folks, that's what it's all about. It's about 52 babies being born because of a Crossroad pregnancy center and someone cares enough to share the light of Jesus Christ into their lives and to see these new births come about and then have 37 other individuals that they've dealt with this past year who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and who now have new life, not just physical birth taking place, but now they have new life taking place. And there's 8 others that Mary didn't mention in this service. There's 8 others that were connected with those 37 who've also put their faith and trust in Christ this last year through the pregnancy center. You see, that's how God works when you and I step out and love on other people like he's loved on us. And when Jesus says he's the light of the world, he is not kidding that he's the light of the world because he has come into many of your lives. I won't ask for a show of hands here this morning, but I would love to hear the stories. And I hope you take some time to share the stories when the light went on for you in your life and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, I remember praying a prayer next to my bed when I was about 4.5 years old. But as I moved into my later teen years, I really struggled with, did I really mean what I prayed when I was 4.5 years old? Did I really put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Did he really come into my life? And was I really his child? And I really wrestled with it. Was it really real or was I just saying words? And I remember I was studying for the ministry. I was in Bible college. It was between my junior and senior year. I'm studying to be in ministry and I'm still wrestling with, do I really know Jesus? I'm sitting in this class and the professor of the class, we were talking about ministering in a camp setting. I was looking to be a camp administrator and to run a Christian camp. And at that point in time, that's what God had put on my heart. And I was sitting in this class and the professor, Dr. McCullough, she was sharing with us about how it is to share Jesus in a camp setting with little children. And I sat there in the middle of that class, and all of a sudden it was like the scales fell off my eyes, and all of a sudden it was one of those, you know, light bulb moments. You could have had a big light bulb above my head. You know, everything went off. I understood all of a sudden. It's what has washed away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For me, that was a light bulb moment in my life. I was 21 years of age, and I won't say how many years that is since today, but you know what? For the last 30 plus years, almost 40 years now, I've never doubted my salvation, my walk with Jesus. Doesn't mean it's been perfect, but I go back to that point in time when the scales fell off my eyes in a unique way, and I truly understood what Jesus had done for me. And I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, is that when I got saved? Was it at age 4.5? I don't care when it was. I know I am today. That's the issue. But I remember when that light came on like that. I was like, aha, wow. What was your light bulb moment with Jesus? When all of a sudden you understood the gospel and you go like, he did this for me. He shed his blood for me. He died for me. And then he rose again. And he wants to be the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And then what's he do for us? When we are now the children of God, when we have the light of Jesus living in our life now? When Jesus is alive in us because he's given us the light of life, what's he ask us now to do? He turns around and in the Sermon on the Mount, what'd he say? He says, now you go because you are the light of the world. And you go and you live your life in such a way before men that they may see your good works and do what? Bring glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, that's what God calls us to do now with the light. He calls us to go and share the light and share the love of Jesus into other people's lives who need to know that there is hope in this dark world. Light does 2 things. Number one, it reveals things to us that were unseen before. How many of you got up in the middle of the night and you need to go to the necessary room, right? and you catch your toe on the edge of the bed or on something that someone left lay in the middle of the floor that you didn't anticipate to be there, but you didn't see it because it was dark. Oh yeah, I know. I've touched a lot of sore toes this morning with that one, right? It's the light of the gospel coming into our lives. We need light to move in a physical world in the same way we need light in the spiritual world. And Jesus is the one who gives us new life and puts his light within us. The Apostle Paul says to us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, I want you to be reflecting Jesus into the world. We're to be like the moon. And we're to be reflecting the sun into the world around us. The sun, S-O-N, into the world around us. As he reflects off of us, we are to reflect Jesus into the world in which we live. Much like the sun and the moon do with each other. The moon, no good light source of its own. It's not a light, it's a reflector. But it reflects the brightness of the sun, and the brilliance of the sun is reflected by the moon. Think about when God created the heavens and the earth. What's the first thing he created? Anybody help me? He created light. Okay? That was the first thing he created on day one. You know when he created the sun and the moon and the stars? On day four. So there were a few days going on here without a moon and sun and stars because God's the light. And when you go to the book of Revelation, and the end of the book says that there won't be the need for any sun or moon and stars in heaven because the Lamb will be there. God will be there. And that will be the light of our heavenly realm. God wants us to be the light now in the world today. He says we'll never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. I don't have to tell you that we live in a dark world. You can pick up, I'm sure, the morning paper this morning, Sunday morning paper. And on the front page and other pages, I'm sure you can see just the darkness portrayed that's in the world around us. You can read everything from baby Alfie over in Britain and that whole situation to Bill Cosby at Norristown Courthouse. And all the darkness that goes on in between there. Let me tell you something, folks. Apart from the grace of God working in your life and in my life, we could be those people in those circumstances, in those situations. Because it's only by the grace of God that we have the light of God in our life. And we need to keep focused on the light. We need to see the light. Scripture tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. That means we need to keep a relationship in good communion with him on a daily basis. And as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, he says that allows him to flow through our lives and out into the lives of other people. And we can be the light in the world then. This world needs people of light. And that's the people of God. And that's you and me. And we can look at all these darkness and we can look at all these horrific things that have taken place and the way people have treated other people, and that hasn't stopped, that's continued from the beginning of time. You need to remember the first two children born, one murdered the other. Darkness has been in the world since the beginning of time, folks. It hasn't changed, except it changes in the people of God as Jesus lights our life by bringing salvation and the gospel into our lives. And he gives us a new life and he gives us a new way to live. And that's shining brightly the light of Jesus into the world in which he's placed us. Many of you, from what I understand, have jumped in to help over at the Bush House with the tragedy that happened in Quakertown this week and the fire at the Bush House. Many people jumped in to help the lady in the service here today. Many of you have helped with the bottles. I hope Mary has no bottles left over after this service, you know. Take all those baby bottles and fill them up. And how did she say it? With your change, your money that jingles, money that folds, and money that the bank still holds. But step into one of those ladies' lives. There's a list of things. Get that list and look at it and say, what are some of these things I could provide? You know, Can you get some of those things on the list? They need other things there too. They need just toys for the kids to play with. And they need some infant clothing I saw on the list there. And there was many other things that are needed there. Well, jump in and get involved. We talk about being pro-life, but sometimes we don't jump in and really get involved in the way we can. And I'm going to encourage you, jump in and get involved. Be a light into these ladies' lives. Maybe there's one of these girls that they're going to use you as maybe as just someone to come alongside of and have a Bible study with and encourage in some special way. I don't know how God wants to use you or me, but I know he wants to use us to be his light in this world in which he has placed us. So how bright's your light shining today? How's Jesus shining through your life? You know, do you know Jesus, but you're kind of doing your own thing? Because see, what happens is, he says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. The dilemma is, and you can read this in 1 John chapter 2, he says, some of you have stumbled, and you need to get back in connection with the light. It doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. Don't hear me wrong. But you're just kind of doing your own thing, because there's only two ways we can go in life. We can either go God's way or we can go our way. That's the only two options in life. And the question is, am I going to follow God and go God's way and be the light in the world in which he's placed me? Or am I going to trust Christ, but then I kind of want to go my own way? Let me tell you what, you're going to be more miserable than before you knew Jesus. Because he's not going to let you be comfortable out here doing your own thing. And you're going to wonder why life seems just to continue to go in a messy way for you sometimes. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes, it's because we've wandered from the faith. And we need to come back to the light and get back reunited and reconnected with Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Many people in this world still walk in darkness. There's many people that you and I bump shoulders with every day that still walk in darkness. There are many people that need to know that there is hope, like we've sang about, in Jesus. And you and I are the ones who have that opportunity to love people in such a way that they look and say, why? Why did you love that way? And my prayer for these texts that were in here today from the ambulance crew is that they looked at the 10 or more people that were surrounding this lady who was struggling back here this morning in the early service, and they were looking and saying, man, I don't get those people. I mean, They were taking such good care of her. Why, you know, and I hope they don't brush it off as, well, they're just nice people. I hope it makes them question why. And that we'll have opportunity in some way, someone else. We may never know what God does with all this. That's okay. That's his business. But someone else will touch their life today, and all of a sudden, God's putting some pieces together. Much like some of your lives, when you look back at how you came to Christ, you know what it was like. This person here, this person there 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 days ago, and all of a sudden, all the lights go on. You go, wow, how did that happen? But God was at work in his way, putting people in your path so that you could eventually see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you let your light shine for Jesus today? Jesus wants to shine through us each and every day. But if you don't know him, you can't let his light shine through you. And I know this morning there may be someone here that doesn't know who Jesus really is. You're listening to Scott talk this morning. You're saying, man, I don't really get it. I don't really know what this is all about. Let me tell you, Jesus died and rose again so that we could have new life in Christ. And by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that he did for us on the cross, we can now have that new life that he promises to us. That's what he gives to us. And if you don't understand that, I encourage you to talk to someone here at the church. I encourage you to go to the Starting Point class that's being taught. It's being taught right now, but you can go to it. Talk to one of the pastors. Take that next step card in front of you, fill it out, and say, hey, I need to know more about this. I don't understand this. And I guarantee you, we're willing to help you understand what Jesus Christ has done and how he wants to bring new life into your life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John chapter 9, and I don't know if you've been reading through the book of John like I challenged you to do, but if you haven't, I encourage you to read John chapter 9 this next week. In John chapter 9, Jesus makes this same statement again. In the midst of coming across a man who was born blind. And the disciples' question was, who sinned? The man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus said, you got your thinking all wrong. Neither of them. This is for God's glory. This is so that God's light can shine. And then Jesus said he's the light of the world. And then Jesus does this incredible thing. He never told the man he was going to give his sight back to him. Jesus spits on the ground, makes some mud, and he puts it on the guy's eyes. Not telling him that this is going to make him see. Can you imagine if you were blind? It's hard for me to step into those shoes, but if you were blind and you couldn't see, you've never seen ever, and somebody's putting mud on your face, on your eyes in particular. And he doesn't say, now go and be healed. Jesus doesn't say anything like that. He says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he goes and he washes and he sees for the first time in his life, an adult man, he sees. The scales have fallen off his eyes. The blindness is gone. And now everybody starts questioning it. The religious people, they start questioning, oh, what's going on? This has happened on the Sabbath. You can't do this on the Sabbath. And they were all up in arms about this situation. And they were asking and questioning this man, questioning his parents. Hey, is this really your son? Was he really blind? Come on, get off it. Because they couldn't accept that this could happen. And he says, I don't know and can't answer all the questions the blind man says to these religious leaders, but he said, I know this one thing. I was blind, but now I see. Later on, he puts his faith in Jesus in that same chapter. If you haven't had a chance to see the movie Case for Christ, story of Lee Strobel, his wife came to Christ. And he didn't like the change that took place in her life. And he did everything he could to try to defeat Christianity, try to debunk Christianity. And he did everything he could to try to prove Jesus Christ was a fraud. And he went to great lengths to do that. And then all of a sudden, the scales fell off his eyes. And Lee Strobel came to faith and trust in Jesus. In fact, he's a pastor today, I think in Texas. Because see, that's what God does when he breaks through the darkness in people's hearts. And that's what he wants to do in the lives of people that he puts in front of us each day. The light of the world is Jesus Christ. And he calls us, now you are the light of the world. Go into the world and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And bring glory to our Father in heaven. Let's go and be the light into this dark world. Don't curse the dark world. Go and be a light to it. And then watch as God works through your life each day. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for how you work in our lives through your Son Jesus. Apart from Jesus, none of this happens. Apart from Jesus, lives are not transformed. Apart from Jesus, we can't help ourselves. And the ugliness of this world would just get bigger and bigger and bigger. But Jesus, you came so that we can bring light into the darkness of this world, so that you can bring light into the darkness of our hearts that were deceitful and desperately wicked. And you brought new life to our hearts. You gave us a new heart. You gave us a heart of flesh because you shone the light of the gospel into our lives. Father, thank you for stepping into our dark world. Thank you for sending your Son into our dark world and giving him as a sacrifice so that we could have new life. Father, help us to go into our world now and share the love of Jesus with people who are living in darkness. Thank you, Father, for using us as your instruments. And it's in the precious name of our risen Savior Jesus we pray. All God's people said, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day.